Welcome. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And this is James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, and we both welcome you back to another episode of The New World Next Week, which, of course, you can find all the information available at NewWorldNextWeek.com. High quality, low quality audio, video, all that, and so very much more. And as we always say, don't take our word for any of these stories. You must go do the research for yourself. James, we will begin with a world view here on New World Next Week, and we take it from our good friend Michael Vale's site, StratRisks.com. And it sources back to the scoop out of New Zealand. More than 30 top U.S. officials guilty of war crimes. More than 30 top U.S. officials, including Presidents George W. Bush and Barack Obama, are guilty of war crimes or crimes against peace and humanity, quote, legally akin to those perpetrated by the former Nazi regime in Germany, end quote, the distinguished American international law authority Francis Boyle charges. U.S. officials involved in an ongoing criminal conspiracy in the Middle East and Africa who either participated in the commission of the crimes under their jurisdiction or failed to take action against them included both presidents since 2001 and their vice presidents, the secretaries of state and defense, the directors of the CIA and national intelligence, and the Pentagon's joint chiefs of staff and the heads of central command, among others, Boyle said, quote, in international legal terms, the U.S. government itself should now be viewed as constituting an ongoing criminal conspiracy under international law, end quote, Boyle said in an address December 9th to the Puerto Rican Summit Conference on Human Rights at the University of the Sacred Heart in San Juan. Boyle is a professor of international law at the University of Illinois Champaign and the author of numerous books on the subject. Besides the presidents, Boyle identified as war criminals Vice Presidents Dick Cheney and Joseph Biden, Secretaries of Defense Donald Rumsfeld, Robert Gates, and Leon Panetta, Secretaries of State Colin Powell, Condoleezza Rice, and Hillary Clinton, National Security Advisors Stephen Hadley, James Jones, and Thomas Donilon, Director of National Intelligence John Negroponte and James Clapper, and Central Intelligence Agency Directors George Tenet, Leon Panetta, and David Petraeus. James, the list goes on and on and on, including Army Generals Odierno, Abizad, Tommy Franks, John Allen. It gets into AFRICOM. It gets into so many other areas. And this just is another example of how anywhere else in the world, if you look at it from any impartial standpoint, you couldn't come to any other conclusion, could you, James?
You really couldn't, and that's why it's so refreshing to hear someone naming names and calling the emperor out on not having any clothes. And of course, we all know that this is only as good as the people's ability to follow through with this and actually hold these people accountable for their crimes, but it is nonetheless refreshing to hear someone talking about it. And of course, Professor Boyle has done such incredible work over the years on these types of issues, and I must admit, in the past, I've only really heard a lot of his talk about the anthrax attacks in 2001. I know he did a lot of research on that. I've heard various interviews with him, but just last month in Kuala Lumpur, I was able to, well, meet him briefly. I certainly did see him in the Kuala Lumpur War Crimes Commission, which is prosecuting war crimes in Palestine. He's part of the prosecution team there and did an excellent job on the day that he was presenting to the commission about that and some of the war crimes that Israel's committed in Palestine. So I think everyone was quite impressed with his ability to marshal the facts and the fact that he's been going over those war crimes for over two decades now. So again, calling out the American regime for being an integral part of these war crimes, especially since 2001. It's not surprising to anyone who's been paying attention. It's not something that will be news to anyone, but it is good to see people standing up and calling them out for what they are. And again, it's up to everyone out there to get the political will behind actually putting these people in shackles, and we have to believe that it is possible, that justice can be attained, and hopefully people out there are doing what they can to add their voices to this mix and not let these murderers get away with murder.
You know, I used to say it on the Media Monarchy podcast a lot that I'd love to, you know, either open the newspaper someday or hop online and look at the news and see that, you know, someone like Henry Kissinger had been, you know, his flight gets diverted and he lands somewhere where they are immediately just ready and waiting to pick him up. So we can only just hope that these things will happen. And again, press to make sure that they will happen. James, I kind of first thought when I saw this story on StratRisks.com that it was referring to the Malaysian War Crimes Tribunal that you went to last month. So we'll include some of those pertinent links in the show notes. And again, you've put up a slew of amazing videos of presentations from that War Crimes Tribunal. So James, we'll turn our second story. We'll turn back here to the States and a story from Threat Level. Expiring warrantless spy bill to be reauthorized by year's end. U.S. spies can rest easy knowing that the nation's warrantless wiretapping program, secretly employed by President George W. Bush administration in the wake of the 2001 terror attacks, won't expire at year's end. That's because Senator Ron Wyden, Democrat of Oregon, said Wednesday he would lift his procedural hold that bars the Senate from voting on the FISA Amendments Act, which President Barack Obama administration maintains is its top national security priority. The only real issue is for how many years the spy bill will be extended for and whether any transparency or privacy protections will be written into the spy program that Congress codified in 2008. Other than that, it's a done deal. Nobody's coming up saying, how can we let this expire, Wyden said in a telephone interview while discussing the backroom legislative jockeying on the issue. The act, subject to a constitutional challenge by the American Civil Liberties Union and others before the Supreme Court, authorizes the government to electronically eavesdrop on Americans' phone calls and emails without a probable cause warrant, so long as one of the parties to the communication is believed to be outside the United States. Communications may be intercepted to acquire foreign intelligence information. And James, the article goes on, and there are PDFs about the FISA Amendments Act and the House passing a measure and the Senate also approving a measure and just all of the ins and outs. And this isn't the first time we've discussed not only this story, but also Democrat Oregon Senator Ron Wyden and the role that he kind of plays in this story. And I think I've always kind of given him the benefit of the doubt and said, you know, 9 times out of 10, Ron Wyden, he's generally on the right side of issues, I believe. It seems in this case that he's just sort of rolling over. Is that how you read it?
It does appear that way. I don't know what kind of backroom jockeying goes on, but I'm sure that it must be extremely difficult to be the one holdout in the Senate against this type of legislation. So I think Wyden can only do so much. And you're right, he usually is on the right side of a lot of these issues, but one senator is not going to save the United States from this type of coordinated, concentrated tyranny. And isn't it a sad indictment of the United States political scene that this FISA Amendments Act has basically disappeared from the table? When is the last time you've even heard people talking about the warrantless wiretapping program? It's just completely disappeared from discourse. And we can just add this to the long and growing list of things that are renewed every year or every few years as need be, whether it be the Patriot Act or the state of national emergency that was declared on September 14th, 2001, and has been renewed every single year since then. It's just the entire infrastructure for the tyranny has been renewed and legislated and brought back time and time again, and every single time the Congress critters that pretend to be representatives of the people just give it their rubber stamp, and nothing's going to change as long as people continue to accept the status quo.
I was just kind of skimming down the rest of the article and from Threat Level. Another amendment in the mix is one by Senators Jeff Merkley, the other senator, also a Democrat from Oregon, and also Mike Lee, a Republican from Utah, requiring the publication of FISA court opinions. But again, yeah, how are 50 senators or the 400s congressmen? They're critters. You called it like it was, James.
Sadly, so. All right, what have we got up for our final story?
Well, our third and final story will look to one, neighbors to the north here in Oregon, and also Colorado, and we'll look at my own foodworldorder.com, originally coming from Natural News. A warning to all pot smokers in Colorado and Washington, you are about to experience a costly lesson in federal tyranny and Obama betrayal. Colorado and Washington pot smokers are lighting up in celebration after having achieved a stunning decriminalization victory at the ballot box. Inhale while you can, my brothers and sisters, because Obama is already plotting how to recriminalize your swag and nullify states' rights. marijuana decriminalization, you see, was a states' rights victory that was more or less flipping the finger to the District of Criminals. From Obama's point of view, this simply cannot be allowed to stand because it would set a precedent of the tyrannical federal government allowing states to decide their own laws separate from federal law. While the U.S. Constitution clearly encourages precisely such a structure, the U.S. federal government that exists today operates like a power-hungry gang of thugs who seek to crush anyone and anything that threatens to stand against it. There does not even exist the facade of respecting the limitations of federal government described in the Constitution. Mark my words, Obama, who is himself an admitted pot smoker, is coming after your right to smoke pot. It'll start with polite-sounding lawsuits. The federal government will claim total control of all individual activity under the Commerce Clause of the U.S. Constitution and pressure a few key federal judges to overturn state decriminalization laws. If for some reason that fails, the DEA, which operates much like a pack of hungry wolves, barely restrained on a short leash, will be given the green light to start to conduct armed federal raids in Washington and Colorado. The point of the raids, the real point of the raids, to send the message that the feds are still in charge, regardless of what the voters say. DEA agents are right now salivating at the thought of identifying, targeting, and raiding small-time pot gardens in Colorado. Those who flaunt their growing, harvesting, or smoking will be the first ones targeted. Don't say you weren't warned. Now, again, that's a pretty incendiary piece from naturalnews.com, but it includes the links to the stories talking about the DEA salivating at the chance of upcoming raids, articles from Reuters, from CNN Money, from the Los Angeles Times, from Alternet, and so very much more. James, at the close of the most recent selections here in the States, we did a segment here on New World Next Week about some of the ways things went, and I said here that I was really surprised that the marijuana legalization didn't pass here in Oregon, but I think that's because we tend to think here in Portland that we are Oregon, but there's a whole other huge majority of the state that didn't want it. This, I think, is a fascinating story, James, and again, I think I've even asked you sometimes, and I believe you've said that this kind of culture doesn't really exist in Japan at all, that generally marijuana is looked at as sort of, you're a loser, right?
It is a devil drug for sure, and it's national news when people get busted for it. So it's a completely different story over here in Asia. But in the American context, it is black and white. It is a constitutional issue, and the federal government has no mandate or authority to step in and overrule these states passing their own laws. But it's not going to stop Obama, and it's exactly right. They're going to try to bust someone in order to get a case ahead that will probably go to the Supreme Court at some point and get some sort of ruling on this definitively one way or another. And who knows, with the Supreme Court ruling in favor of Obamacare and other monstrosities, who knows how such a vote would go. But again, it's absolutely tyranny, and it's in your face, but I'm sure that the Obamasiah zombies out there are just going to lap it up and ask for seconds. So from your own perspective there in Potland, how are my ruddy-eyed Potlandia friends taking all of this? Are any of them getting shaken loose from their Obamasiah worship?
There are definitely a lot. I think more and more people kind of wake up as each day goes by. However, that, you know, I see the bumper stickers and the lawn signs are all still kind of hanging around, which I always find kind of strange. It was fun to see a lot of folks from here actually go, because, man, we're pretty much on the border. So you can get into Washington in just a few short minutes, essentially. People were basically going up to parties in Washington last week to celebrate. And I find it, you know, it's fascinating. I would even say it was pretty awesome to see the news coverage and to see the newspapers and to see the cops in Washington go, yeah, we're throwing out hundreds and hundreds of cases of marijuana possession, and to see, you know, people, you know, hitting bongs on the TV news. And in a way, I don't, you know, revel in the like, woohoo, dude, we can get high. Because ultimately, that's not where it's at. It's ultimately got to come down to just the freedom for consenting adults to do what they want to do. And it also avoids the whole discussion of all the other things that you could do with cannabis. That's a different plant than the one that we get high from, is the one that we could make paper, power cars, all of those things. It is a wonder plant. As Bill Hicks, Saint Hicks always said, you know, it's not like God looked around after he created everything and said, oh man, I left pot everywhere. That's going to make people think they're supposed to use it or something. So this will be a really interesting thing to see how it plays out. And I don't feel like I've heard any sort of moves to overturn it as you generally hear it when it's related to gay marriage, which also just passed in Washington, fortunately.
Yeah, some pretty interesting things happening. So I guess we'll have to see how they try to take it down, but that the Obama administration is going to try to take that down is, I think, beyond dispute. And while we're in that area of the United States, I understand another big story breaking. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I'll just kind of briefly say, again, you know, folks know I'm here in Portland, Oregon, and I put the Media Monarchy podcast on hiatus because I'm now the producer of Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis, a nationally syndicated talk show. And while I was at my desk Tuesday afternoon, and of course there's the inner office emails and you'll see them pop up, I see an email from Jim that says, there's been a shooting, which is never an email you ever want to see. And watched it unfold, and I looked at Twitter and saw that Portland and Clackamas became trending topics, and that's when I realized, oh, this is not going to be a Portland story. This is going to turn into a national story, as folks have no doubt heard about the shooting at the Clackamas Town Center Mall. And there are three dead, and it's another unfortunate, you know, mass, not even mass, but it's another shooting event that 24 hours later, and I knew it was going to be this, would turn into the Bob Costas-like hand-wringing about, we have to do something about gun control. So it also didn't take long, James, for some of the synchronicities to start to show up as we were watching all the coverage. So we are working behind the scenes at Ground Zero. We've acknowledged the event, but I think we're kind of doing our homework and are going to cover it this Friday night on the show. And we should have Lauren Coleman of the Copycat Effect in the very first hour to discuss this and to just look at a lot of the interesting angles. It was fascinating to be in a newsroom when something like this happened, to see them trying to find that balance between we need to cover this story and we need to give the local audience obviously pertinent information that directly affects their well-being, and find the balance between, oh, this is a big story, and, you know, yay, that equals ratings. Ultimately, I think the stations handled it well that I heard and what I could see. But it was a pretty fascinating thing, and I'm generally used to walking down the halls and seeing Piers Morgan and Anderson Cooper and all the talking head goofs on the mainstream media talking about fiscal cliff and all the BS talking points, but to then walk down the hall and see when your city becomes national news, it was a little surreal.
Yes, as you say, it's not something anyone really wants to see, but yeah, and you're right, there's a lot of responsibility for media to how they cover this type of story, so it must be interesting to get some of those behind-the-scene details, and I'd like to get them from you some other time. But just one other thing that I'd like to note, and I'll throw in the links, is a photo that was tweeted out during this showing apparently police arriving on the scene at the mall, but if they weren't National Guards, you could have fooled me. They're complete military regalia, which either shows complete militarization of the police or the National Guard showing up on the scene.
And I'll just close it by saying, and this is why I think folks should check out Friday night's episode of Ground Zero when we go into this, because we discovered, of course, James, what did they do earlier this year? They had an active shooter drill at the same location where the same event would play out just a couple of months later. So in the press conferences yesterday, they were able to say, oh, you know, it went well because we had trained exactly for this precise event to happen.
They are so good at choosing what events to train for, aren't they? They always seem to get it exactly right.
It just seems like ever since Portland let in the Joint Terrorism Task Force, that suddenly you have terror events. And that was when the tree bomber happened, Black Friday here 2 years ago. And it just goes on and on, James.
That's right. And we can flash back to some of a New World Next Week coverage on that, talking about the JTTF and the Christmas tree bomber. A lot to cover today. So thank you all for hanging in there. And I hope you'll hang in again next week as we come back. So James, thank you again for these stories. And thank you for all your time.
Thank you so much, man. Take care.